There was no children's talk this morning. And so to the kids that are here, we will start with a talk just for you. Adults, pay attention. Once upon a time, a wolf found great difficulty in getting at the sheep, owing to the vigilance of the shepherd and his dogs. But one day, it found the skin of a sheep that had been skinned and thrown aside. And so it put it on over its own pelt and strolled down amongst the sheep. Kids, what do you think happened next? This isn't a nice story. A lamb that belonged to the sheep whose skin the wolf was wearing began to follow the wolf in the sheep's clothing. And so leading the lamb a little apart, he soon made a meal off her. And for some time, he succeeded in deceiving the sheep and enjoying hearty meals. Parents, you can explain that to your kids when you get home. What's the moral of that ancient story? Because it really is an ancient story. What's the moral of that ancient story? Well, it's not that they lived happily ever after. It's that appearances can be deceiving. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. There are wolves in the sheep pen. The wolves I'm talking about are false teachers. False teachers have infiltrated the church. If they haven't infiltrated this church yet, or this church in a while, you can be 100% certain they still will. In our age of false teachers, false teaching abounds all around us. And so we as the church need to be battle ready. Because the sheep, these wolves, are seeking to devour are you. Friends, these wolves can be hard to spot. They look like us. They wear their Sunday best to church. They act like us. They sit in the front pew saying hallelujah at all the right times. They sound like us. They use the same words. They use the same Christianese, the language that we speak. But they are not us. And the consequences of not identifying false teachers and not fighting against the false teaching that they seek to inject into local church communities is terrible. Souls, eternal life is at stake here. In Jude, verse 3, he writes, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." Why? Why not write about the glorious gospel of salvation? Why did Jude find it so necessary to write about false teachers and their false teaching? Why is this so urgent, even for us this morning, to write appealing to you to contend for the faith? Well, the answer is given in verse 4, because certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Jude is sounding the alarm. We have been infiltrated. The enemy isn't at the gate. The enemy has breached the walls. He is among us. We need to now fight for the faith. In this letter, Jude details for us battle plans on how to engage the enemy. This morning, we're just going to look at verse 3 and verse 4. And let me tell you what the main idea is up front in terms of this text. It's contend for the faith. Contend for the faith in verse 3. And then following that up, two minor points that make up that main point in verse 4. Number one, against false teachers. And number two, against false teaching. In your own Bibles, just read along with me in verse 3 again so that we've got it near to mind. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you appealing to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Jude states his authorial intent for this letter right up front. He was going to write about salvation, but present and pressing circumstances have changed his mind. He must write about the matter of the moment because it is necessary. Can you hear something of his urgency in his appeal to believers to contend for the faith? The word translated contend here is actually where we get our English word agonize from. He's saying agonize for the faith. He's saying contest for the faith. He's saying wrestle for the faith. He's saying fight for the faith, struggle for the faith, strive for the faith. He wants you to agonize for the faith. The Amplified Bible interprets the word well by saying fight strenuously for the defense of the faith. The New American Standard Bible, a far more literal translation, translates this word as contend earnestly for the faith. I've seen some social media warriors paraphrase this phrase as be contentious for the faith or be argumentative for the faith on Twitter or on Facebook or on whatever social media profile they're on. That's not Jude's intent here. We're going to see in a few weeks' time when we look at verse 17 to verse 23 that this contending isn't Bible bashing for the faith. As the pastoral staff and interns previewed the sermon this week, Daniel pointed out that the faith here needs to be defined to one degree or another. And so let me say that the faith is that body of truth that all of us Christians believe. The faith here is the apostles' teaching that all Christians are devoted to. The faith are those doctrines which are essential to Christianity. The faith is drawn from Scripture. The faith is clear in Scripture. The faith certainly includes those great and glorious doctrines, the deity of Christ, the salvation salvation by grace alone, salvation through Christ alone, the substitutionary death of Jesus, the literal resurrection of Jesus, monotheism, and the Holy Trinity. This is the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith that is under constant attack from false teachers. Church, note this carefully. Contending for the faith here is an every member ministry. Jude is not writing this letter to the pastor of your church. This letter is not addressed to Charles. This letter is not addressed to Jabu. This letter is not addressed to Isaac. This letter is not addressed to Mark. This letter is not addressed to our elders. Take a look in your Bibles at verse 1. The letter is addressed to those who are called. That is all of us. And this command to contend in verse 3, take a look at that, is to those who are called beloved. That's all of us. And at the end of verse 3, the faith was delivered to the saints. That's plural. And again, that is all of us. Jude is writing to us. He wants us to contend earnestly for the faith. You are to contend earnestly for the faith. So the main point of verse 3 and 4, Jude is saying, contend for the faith. But secondly, he goes on to express who we are to contend against. And it's to contend against false teachers in verse 4. Read the first part of verse 4 together with me. Certain people have crept in unnoticed. Certain people have crept in unnoticed. Jude says that the false teachers are creepy. Literally, they've settled in alongside of us. They've come in by the side door. They're sneaky and they're cunning. They're sitting in the pew next to you. It's probably your husband or your wife. And I'm not necessarily saying that they are the false teachers. But the idea is that they're here among us. They'll be drinking a cup of coffee with you and chatting to you after the service. They're one of us. They've infiltrated us. Jesus warned of these people. He said, while people sleep, his enemy would come. Paul warned of false brothers infiltrating our ranks. Paul said that false teachers would use human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. Peter warned that there would be false teachers among you bringing in destructive heresies. Jude now says they are here. They are among us. Friends, such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, distinguishing and disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And just like their father, the devil, false teachers disguise themselves as men of God. They are pastors. They are elders. They are Bible study leaders. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Take a look at verse 4, the next phrase. Who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Believer, hear this great and glorious truth. Entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Not so for false teachers. They are condemned. Peter says that false teachers will bring swift destruction on themselves. That their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. The Lord keeps the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. The gloom of darkness has been reserved for them. They are truly living their best life now. Because what comes next will be harrowing. And they are moving steadily towards their destruction and their doom. Cast your eyes again at verse 4, the next phrase. Ungodly people. What's more, these men and women live a counterfeit Christianity. They lack a proper respect for God. They are irreverent. They wear a mask. With the mask on, they sit in the midst of the congregation. They're members in the gathering. They teach in the assembly. But with the mask off, they don't truly love God as God. Now, this becomes the main theme of the rest of Jude's letter. Now, you can see in verse 4, if you just scan your eyes through the letter, they are ungodly. False teachers are sensual. They deny Jesus Christ. In verse 8, it says that they lack true revelation. They defile their flesh. They reject authority. They slander glorious ones. Verse 10, they are blasphemers and they are self-destructive. Verse 16, they are discontented grumblers. They live according to their own desires. They are arrogant. They are flatterers. Verse 18, they are scoffers. Verse 19, they cause divisions. They are worldly. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. They're not even saved. Jude is telling us that we are to contend for the faith. And the first part of verse 4, he's saying we are to contend for the faith against false teachers. And in the second part of verse 4, he wants us to know that we are to contend for the faith against false teaching. Cast your eyes again at verse 4, the next phrase. It says, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. The word translated here as sensuality could refer to any excess or lack of restraint. It is shameful excess. It is indecent behavior. It is sexual excess. It is lewd sexual immorality. It is uninhibited licentiousness. It is grimy sexual debauchery. These men pervert grace in that they sanction sin in their own lives and in the lives of their disciples. Instead of teaching that grace cancels the penalty of sin, that grace breaks the power of sin, and that one day grace will eradicate the presence of sin in our lives, they teach that grace gives you license to sin. And so sin, that grace may abound. Church, the gospel is a call to discipleship, a call to follow Jesus Christ in submissive obedience. The gospel frees us from the power of sin so that we might live God-glorifying lives. But churches today are too concerned with filling pews than filling heaven. And so any profession, whether or not the person shows any actual evidence of commitment to Jesus Christ, is affirmed as a salvation testimony. Faith is reduced to an intellectual exercise. Faith is no longer surrender to Christ as master and Lord. It's watered down to accepting a few basic facts about him. A type of acceptance which results in no heart change. And this is evidenced by no life change. Easy believism. These corrupt wolves teach a corrupt gospel that is fit only for goats. They teach unrighteousness as righteousness. They pervert the grace of God into sensuality. Last phrase in verse 4. And deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. False teachers don't walk around with a t-shirt on it saying, I hate Jesus. No, they use the right lingo. They talk of God and Jesus and the Spirit and salvation and faith and atonement and resurrection. They just put their own meanings on every single word. They distort, they twist, and in so doing, they deny Jesus Christ. Your soul, your eternal life depends upon what you believe regarding the person and the work of Jesus Christ. In our text this morning, it says that Jesus is our master, our despotain, despotes. It's where we get the English word despot from. A despot has undisputed ownership and absolute unrestricted authority over his subjects. The Greeks refused the title to any but the gods. In the New Testament, despotes and kurion, the word that we see here for Lord, are used interchangeably of God. Jesus is the one who has legal control and authority over his subjects. Jesus has legal control and authority over you. The word Lord here, kurion, describes the supreme one. Jesus Christ is sovereign and possesses absolute authority, absolute ownership, and uncontested power. False teachers always end up undermining the person or the work of Jesus Christ. They bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Jude is saying in this text, contend for the faith against these false teachers and against their false teaching. How are we to apply this? Church, there are wolves in the sheep pen. If false teachers haven't infiltrated this church yet or this church in a while, you can be 100% certain they will soon. The greatest threat to our church isn't persecution from the outside, it's false teaching producing unbelief and false living appealing to carnality. If you're not sure what I mean when I say false teacher or false teaching, here are some examples. T.D. Jakes says that God eternally exists in three manifestations, not three persons, the Trinity. Krevler Dollar says, because we are created in the image of God, we are little gods. Stephen Furtick, who holds the name Baptist, says God broke the law for love. He broke his own law in order to save us. Benny Hinn sells the gospel on TBN. Kenneth Copeland sold healing for a pretty penny every day. Mormonism says God revealed new scriptures to Joseph Smith that supersedes the Bible. Roman Catholicism says that we are justified by faith, but not by faith alone. Shembe is not the way, and ZCCT cannot heal you. False teachers are on the bestseller shelf at your local Kum bookstore. False teachers are on the airwaves daily on TBN, Daystar Television Network, Faith Broadcasting Network. False teachers preach from pulpits all across our city this morning. Church, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Men, you are to contend for the faith in your household. Moms, you are to contend for the faith as you raise up your children. Bible study leaders, you are to contend for the faith in your small groups. Elders, you are to contend for the faith as you protect this pulpit. Church, counterfeit Christians find it too easy to infiltrate Christian communities because we hand over responsibility for knowing the faith to our pastors too quickly. You're not ready to contend for anything because you don't know enough. The Christian life is an informed life. We know the truth and the truth sets us free. Take charge of your faith. Join a small group Bible study. Speak to Eugene or speak to Quentin straight after the service and get connected. Get after knowledge. Join the Bible reading program. Hide God's word in your heart. We need to take discipleship seriously. Are you a new believer? Who's discipling you? Speak to an elder even this morning to get connected to a mature believer. Are you a mature believer? Who are you discipling? Disciple someone. Don't let the Great Commission become the Great Commission in our lifetime, omission in our lifetimes. I realize that not everyone here this morning is a believer, is a saint. How might this message apply to you? There's a dire warning to you in this text. This text talks about judgment. Jesus will judge those who pervert the gospel. And you can be sure that the false disciples of false teachers will face the righteous judgment of a holy God. Friend, have you not received forgiveness for your sins? Is the judgment coming for you? This morning, recognize your desperate need for a Savior. Turn from your sin and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Embrace Him as your Lord and your Master. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Profess Him with your mouth and believe upon Him in your heart. Come to Jesus. He will save you from the wrath that is to come. Deposit His Spirit in your heart. Cancel the penalty of sin against you. Empower you to live a God-glorifying life in this world and prepare you to live without the presence of any sin in the world to come. Cast yourself upon Jesus this day, urgently. It is necessary.